All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chaf Hei 25, and we are picking up from the Mishnah on the top of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph 25a. Writes the Mishnah, Nitma HaKometz. So we'll say an interesting case. Let's say the Kometz becomes Tameh. Something happens to the Kometz. Remember again, the Kometz is the three fingerfuls of the flour of the Karpa Mincha, which is offered up on the Mizbeach. The remainder of that kometz, the remainder of the mincha is called shirayim. Kometz is the only part of the carbon that is offered up on the mizbeach. The shirayim are consumed by the kohanim, with one exception, which is if a kohen offers up his own mincha, then halacha lemaisa that entire offering is burnt on the mizbeach. So we're talking about over here a case where the kometz itself became tameh, but nevertheless vehikrivu, but it was offered. It was offered up. Nevertheless, it was offered up. What's the halacha? Hatzitz miratzah. So we'll say the tzitz ultimately again is miratzah. Now, what that means is the tzitz, remember, is the gold plate that the Kohen Gadol wears on his forehead. That, right, it says Kodesh Lashem, sanctified to God. And that tzitz, we learned about this already back a couple of masechtos ago, that tzitz has the ability to create effectiveness even for sacrificial items which are ritually impure. Again, not every single case, certain circumstances which are spelled out by the Gemara. So over here the Gemara says, the existence of the tzitz, the Kohen Gadol's wearing of the tzitz, has the ability to affect effectiveness, not good English, but to create effectiveness, ultimately, again, for the kmitza, which is tummy. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi, tap Rashi and daf atitz meratzah, v'amincha ksheira. So what it means is that the kometz that's offered up is kosher, the mincha is kosher. Not only that, the hashirayim ne'echalin. And the leftover part of the mincha is actually fit to be consumed. However, yotza v'grivo, we'll say what happens if the karban mincha is taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the psul that's called yotze, and then it was offered up, in hatzitz miratza. Then the tzitz does not have the ability to create effectiveness. Why not? Shatzitz miratza ala tamei, vein miratza ala yotze. Because we'll say the tzitz has the ability to go ahead and create effectiveness for something that is tamei, but doesn't have the ability to create effectiveness for something that was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, again, an incredible halacha. In the event that the kometz becomes tameh, the mere existence of the tzitz allows, it's not just the mere existence, it has to say that the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz. If the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, then ultimately, again, that creates the effectiveness for the kometz that was tameh. But the tzitz only works for Tumah. The tzitz does not work for Yotzeh, for the psul of Yotzeh. If ultimately the kometz is taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash, tzitz does not work. So we're going to explore that a little bit more. Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say the Gemara discusses this concept. V'nosa Aron HaSavon HaKadoshim. So we'll say, so the Pasuk says, that Pasuk literally reads, it's talking about the tzitz. I'll read to you the first part of the Pasuk. V'haya al mitzach Aron, the tzitz will be on the forehead of Aron. V'nosa Aron esavon HaKadoshim. And literally translated, Aron will carry the iniquity of the sacrificial items, of the sacred items. He'll carry with him the avon, which means the iniquity, the sin of the Kadoshim, of the Kadoshim. Sacra of Kachim, Asher Yakdishu Bnei Yisrael L'chol Maknos Kachayim, V'haya Al Mitzchot Tamid L'Ratzon L'Hem L'Fnei Hashem. And the tzitz will be on his forehead, constantly, L'Ratzon, and will be the goodwill before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Gemara, V'nasa Aronis Avon HaKadoshim, V'chi Eza Avon Hu Noses. We'll say clearly, what is the Torah telling me? The lashon of v'nosa Aron es avon hakadoshim means that Aron, through the wearing of the tzitz, is able to create atonement. V'nosa means he'll lift up. The lashon of v'nosa, of lifting up, is a lashon ultimately of forgiveness. So through the wearing of the tzitz, Aron is able to create or to effect forgiveness for certain sacrificial transgressions. So what type of Aveira ultimately, again, is the tzitz meratzeh for? Does the tzitz atone for? V'chi eizo avon hu noseh, in tomar avon pigul. If you want to say, maybe it's pigul. Maybe what it's talking about is a case of Osai, that in the event that a carbon became pigul. Remember again, how does a carbon become pigul? A kohen has any type of disqualifying machshava over the course of the avodah could render the carbon pigel. So let's say it became pigel and you offered it up. Maybe the Torah is coming to teach me that what? That the presence or the wearing of the tzitz has the ability to affect atonement for the carbon. That can't be. Both say the pasuk by pigel already tells us that a carbon that is pigel, once you're pigel, you're out, right? Once you become pigel, so there is that carbon can no longer be affected. I im tomar avon nosar. So maybe you'll say again, it's for the sin of nosar. But remember again, nosar means that the carbon was left over past the, we'll call it the window of permissibility. So maybe you'll tell me if the carbon becomes nosar, but it's offered up, then halacha lemaisa the tzitz can be meratza. That can't be either. I'll tell you why. Hare kvar ne'emar lo yiratza. The pasuk Rabbah said by nosar already says it shall not be accepted. Suppose this, the one's pointing out over here, by pigel and nosar, the Torah uses absolute lashonos of psul to teach you that once the carbon becomes pigel, once it becomes nosar, you're out. You're out. Now I know pigel and nosar, once you become disqualified with those psulim, there is no redemption for that. What I also know is what? What I also know is that halacha lemaisa, that the tzitz does have the ability to be meratzeh, that the tzitz does have the ability to affect atonement. So now my shaila is what? What, now that I know the tzitz can be meratzeh, I know that it's not for pigul and it's not for nosar. So now what's the obvious follow-up shaila? So what is it meratzeh for? So what does it atone for? To which the Gemara says, ha'ino nosay, ela avon tumah shodro mechala b'tzibor. So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. It must be that it goes ahead and it atones. Sirbo say, what we're saying now is that tzitz has to atone for something for which we find some element of atonement in a different arena. What's the example of that? And a good example of that is tumah. Sirbo said there's a concept of tumah hutra b'tzibor, which means that for certain situations, if the tzibor, if 51% of the congregation is tameh, then halacha l'maisa, certain karbanos, tzibor, become permitted. So the Gemara is suggesting as follows, that the tzitz is miratzah for tumah, namely, that if a carbon was offered up in a state of tumah, the tzitz has the ability to create the effectiveness for the carbon. How does the tzitz have the license to do that? Why? Because we see that tumah already is not an absolute prohibition. Where do we see that tumah is not an absolute prohibition? Because tumah hutra betzibor. Therefore, when looking for something that the tzitz is meratzeh for, we're going to go ahead and we're going to go with tumah. As opposed to pigel and nosar, which are absolute prohibitions. There is no situation where pigel is okay. There is no situation where nosar is okay. Therefore, to go ahead and say that the tzitz is meratzeh for those things doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, maskif lo Rabbi Zira. So Rabbi Zira raises a contradiction. He says, or raises a kasha. Ima, avon yotze shehuter michlalo bebama. Well, why don't you say as follows? Why don't you say that the tzitz is miratze in the event that the carbon was accidentally taken out of the Beis HaMikdash and then brought back in and offered up? Why don't I say that the tzitz can be miratze, the tzitz can affect or can create effectiveness for that carbon? Why? Shehuter michlalo bebama. Because Rabbi said the prohibition of yotze is also not an absolute prohibition. Where do we find an example of where yotze is sanctioned and yotze will work? Bama. Right? Rabbi say, what's a bama? Bama is a private altar. What happens with a private altar? The halacha is you're offering up karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that there is a circumstance, ultimately, where yotze works. So maybe tzitz is miratze for that. To which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Amar Kra, L'ratzon Lifnei Hashem. We'll say by the pasuk by tzitz, ultimately again it says that tzitz will create effectiveness before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that mean? So l'ratz lifnei Hashem, avon lifnei Hashem in, avon diyotze lo. So we'll say that tzitz is able to create effectiveness for a sin which is committed before Hashem. What does it mean? It's sin that's committed before Hashem. A sin that is committed inside of the Beis HaMikdash. But a sin that is committed outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the tzitz is not meratzeh for. So therefore, what is the Gemara saying? So the psul of yotze, offering up a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, is a sin that is committed not in the presence of God. Offering up a carbon in a state of tumah is a sin which is committed in the presence of God. The tzitz is only meratzah for a sin that is committed in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, you see, the tzitz is meratzah for tumah. Maskif l'Rabbi Eloi. Okay, maskif l'Rabbi Eloi. So Rabbi Eloi raised the kasha. Im avon small. This is actually very interesting. We'll say, mate, you know, with the halacha is that the Kohen is supposed to do the avoda with the right hand. So why don't we say that maybe the tzitz is meratzah in the event that the Kohen did the avoda with his left hand? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Ve'ima avon small dilechatchila ba'inon yamin kidamina perak rishon komakum shnema etzar. We actually learned this in this mesecta. So ultimately, again, the halacha is that the avoda must be done with the right hand, and therefore, again, maybe the tzitz is meratze in the event that the kohen did the avoda with the left hand. So if you did it, even though again you're not supposed to do the avoda with the left hand, if you did it and the kohen's wearing the tzitz is meratze. The tzitz creates effectiveness for that avoda. Why? Now we'll say. Now remember, what you begin to see over here is the pattern. The pattern is the tzitz, right? The kohen gadol's wearing of the gold plate on his forehead has the ability to create effectiveness for a sacrificial service that would have been otherwise invalid. But it appears that only works if the particular prohibition in question is not absolute. If it's something absolute, then it sounds like that halacha lemaisa, even the tzitz cannot be meratzah. So why don't we say that the tzitz is meratzah in the event that the kohen did the avoda with the left hand? Why? Because left-handed avoda is not an absolute prohibition. Where do we see an example of where left-handed avoda is done? Shehuter michlalo b'yom kippurim. Because we'll say, interestingly enough, what's the halacha? The halacha is the kohen uses his left hand for the avoda of Yom Kippur. Where does the kohen use his left hand for the avoda of Yom Kippur? So look at Rashi. This is actually quite interesting. B'yom kippurim. Notlas hamachta b'yemino. Ve'esakaf b'smolo. We'll say, because when doing the avoda of the ketores, of the incense, so the kohen takes the machta. The machta is like the fire pan. He takes the fire pan in his right hand, and the kaf, which is the spoon or the ladle, which has the actual ketores inside of it, in his left hand. So you see an example of where left-handed avoda is in fact sanctioned. So maybe in a situation where left-handed avoda wasn't warranted, but the kohen did the avoda with his left hand, then maybe the tzitz is meratzah for that. To which the Mishnah Abayi amakra avon. To which Abayi says the pasuk says that the tzitz atones for an avon, a sin. Avon shahaya ba'u dechisiv. Ultimately, again, the tzitz is meratzah for a sin that ultimately, again, was in effect, but was set aside. In other words, a sin that was violated. Lafuki Yom Kippurim, dech sheru b'smolu. See, both say, the difference is, on Yom Kippur, it's not just the pshat that ultimately, again, left-handed avoda is kosher. Is that what? Left-handed avoda is warranted. So the tzitz, Rabbi say, so to say that the tzitz is meratzah for left-handed avoda doesn't make sense. Why? Because not only at a time is left-handed avoda okay, but it's actually obligatory. Kohen has to do the avoda of the ketores, at least some part of it with his left hand. The tzitz is meratzah for something that under normal circumstances absolutely unequivocally forbidden. Rav Ashi says, Avon HaKadoshim v'lo Avon HaMakdishim. Rav Ashi says there's another reason that why ultimately you can't say the tzitz is meratzah for left-handed avoda, because the pasuk says that the tzitz is meratzah for Avon HaKadoshim, which means the tzitz is meratzah for something that is inherently flawed in the sacrificial service itself, v'lo Avon HaMakdishim, and not a mistake or not a sin, ultimately, again, of those who engage in the avoda. So ultimately, again, left-handed avoda, Rabosai, is a mistake of the kohen himself, as opposed to a fundamental flaw within the avoda itself. So we'll say, so therefore the Gemara ends off over here. Well, actually, that's a little bit more. Amri Rav Sima Brei Ravidi, L'Rav Ashi, V'Amri Rav Sima Brei Rav Ashi, L'Rav Ashi, V'Ema Avon Bal Mum. Maybe, Rabosai, the tzitz is miratza for the sin of a Baal Mum. In other words, what happened? Maybe the tzitz is meratzah that in the event that a person offered up a karban, which is a Baal Mum, which is blemished, that the tzitz has the ability to be meratzah, that the tzitz has the ability ultimately to create effectiveness for that particular carbon. So the Gemara says shehoter michlalo ba'ofos. It was, remember again. So same pattern. Tzitz is meratzeh for something which is not an absolute prohibition. So I, isn't balmum an absolute prohibition? No. Because where do we see an example of where a balmum could be offered? By birds. So the Gemara says, shehuter michlalo ba'ofos. You are permitted, I will say, when it comes to bird offerings, you could offer up a bird which is a balmum. Because we learned, Amar Mar, tamos v'zichrus bebehemo, ve'tamos v'zichrus ba'ofos. We'll say there's an obligation, ultimately, tamos means that the carbon must be whole, the animal must be whole. Zichrus means it must be male. Those are halachos that apply to animal carbonos, but do not apply to bird carbonos. So I'll say, maybe the halacha is that the tzitz is meratzeh for a balmum, that if you go ahead and you offer up an animal which is a balmum, even though you're not allowed to do it, if you did it, it's the presence of the tzitz which ultimately creates the effectiveness of the carbon. Why? Because the prohibition is not absolute. Because you see, by a bird that you could offer up a balmum, to which the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Tom Zer is fine. The Vein Tom Zer as well. Amar Lei, Alecha Amakra, about you, or about literally what you just said, the Pasuk is stated, Lo Yiratzeh. We'll say here's the difference. When it comes to Balmum, there is actually quite absolute in the fact that what? Such a carbon will not be accepted. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Lo yeiratze, b'shur v'ses sarua v'kalut, lo l'ratzon, kol asher bomum lo sakrivu. So we'll say, to which the Gemara essentially says, there's no way that tzitz can be meratze for a Balmum. Why not? Because halacha lemaisa, the prohibition of balmum is so incredibly, unequivocally absolute. Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, even the presence of the tzitz cannot be meratzeh for the balmum. So both say, after we exhaust all of the possibilities, it leads us back to what we started with initially, which is, here's what we know. What we know is that the tzitz, when the Kohen Gadol wears the gold plate on his forehead, is one of his begadim, that says Kodesh Lashem, the wearing of that tzitz, the Torah tells us, has the ability to create some type of effectiveness for what would otherwise be an invalid sacrificial service. Where do we know that from? Because the Torah says, "V'haya amitzach Aaron, v'nosa Aaron es avon hakadoshim." Aaron will wear the tzitz, and by wearing the tzitz, again, the lashon is very important. V'nosa Aaron es avon hakadoshim. Aaron will lift up the sin of the sacrificial items, or the sin of the sanctified items, which tells us that the mere wearing of the tzitz has the ability to validate something that would otherwise be an invalid avoda. What we're trying to figure out, what we've been trying to figure out this entire daf so far, is so what? What? Meaning which type of avoda ultimately, again, which type of invalid avoda is validated by the presence of the tzitz. So we'll say, after going through all of the different possibilities, we're back at square one where we started, which is, what does tzitz work for, Abosai? What does tzitz work for? Tumah. Tumah, that in the event that a carbon was offered up in a state of tumah, which it should not have been done, but it was done nevertheless, the tzitz is meratzeh. The tzitz creates effectiveness for that carbon. The carbon is valid. We'll say, where do we get tumah from? Because remember again, what we know is that tzitz is able to create effectiveness for something which is not an absolute prohibition. Tumah is not an absolute prohibition. Why not? Shehutra b'tzibur. Because there is a case of tumah which is permitted for sacrificial service, namely, if 51% of Klal Yisrael are tmeim, ultimately again, tumah becomes permitted, and carbonos could be offered up in a state of tumah. Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, and I will say this is indeed halacha lemaisa, if the kometz of the mincha was tamei and was offered up as in a state of tumah, the halacha is that the mincha is good. This, in fact, is how the Rambam paskins. This is in Psuli Hamukdashin, Parak Yud Aleph, Halacha Yutes. Listen to this. Kometz mincha shenitma viktiru. If the kometz of the mincha, I'm reading to the Rambam, became tamei. But now again, I will say, if it becomes tamei, then should you offer it? Should you offer it? No, of course not. But you did it anyway. Hatzitz miratzeh. Ultimately, again, the tzitz creates effectiveness for that atonement. Shnei Avinasa Aaron, that's the halacha. Yotzah kometz chutz lahazara v'chnisa v'ktiro. On the flip side, if you took the kometz outside of the Beis Hamikdash, this is just the Mishnah, and then it was offered up, ainat tzitz meratzah. The tzitz does not create effectiveness. Why? Shatzitz meratzah la tamei v'ino meratzah la yotzei. Because most of the tzitz is only creates effectiveness for something that is tamei, but not for something taken outside of the precincts of the Beis Hamikdash. Good. Ten Rabbanan. We'll say we go back there. Dam shenitma. Another interesting case. So blood, sacrificial blood, becomes tamei. And what happens? Vizarko, and you threw it anyway. So now we're talking still about cases where the sacrificial item became tamei. Once it becomes tamei, really you should shut everything down. The difference over here is that it wasn't. So the sacrificial blood becomes tamei, but the kohen does zrika anyway. So what's the shayla? The shayla is the avoda kosher or not? So the Gemara says it depends. B'shogeg hurtza, if it was done b'shogeg, it works. B'mezid lo hurtza, if it was done b'mezid intentionally, it doesn't work. B'mezid amurim, when is this true? B'yachid, over the individual. Aval b'tzibur, when it comes to a tzibur, bin b'shogeg bin b'mezid hurtza. So we'll say actually very interesting. So halacha l'maisa, if it was done for a yachid, if this is a carbon of a yachid, so if the blood became tamei, if intentionally thrown in a state of tumah, it will not work. But if accidentally offered up in a state of tumah, it will work. But if it's for the tzibur, if it's a communal offering, so whether or not the kohen did it b'shogeg or b'mezid, it will work. Uba oved kochavim, we'll say, what about if it's the carbon of an akum of a Gentile? They will say, now obviously in this case, Rashi points out over here, uba oved kochavim. Oved kochavim sheshilach karbano v'nitma hadam. So both remember again, this is very important, very apropos to slichos. Ki beisi beis tefili yikari lechava amim. Right? Then remember again, the Beis Hamikdash was not just a place for Klal Yisrael. The Beis Hamikdash was a place for all of humanity. That even an Akum, even an idolater, right, has the ability to send the carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's say we'll say with the carbon of an Akum, and the blood becomes Tameh. What's the halacha? Bein b'shogig, bein b'mezin, bein b'onis, bein b'ratzon. Whether again the blood was offered up, b'mezid, b'shogig, mezid, onis, ratzon. What's the halacha? Lohurtza, Amud Beis. Ultimately, again, the sacrificial service is not good. So, we'll say, so according to this braisa, the distinction is as follows. If it's a carbon yachid, if the blood became tamei, was offered up a shogeg, carbon works. Offered up a mezid, carbon doesn't work. B'tzibur, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, carbon works. Ovid kochavim, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'onis, bein b'ratzon, carbon doesn't work. Or minhu, Gemara is a kasha. 1 second. Amatz it's meratza. So we'll say, remember again, the Gemara says, what does the tzitz creative toden create effectiveness for? Al hadam va'al habasar va'al hachilev shenitmo. We'll say, so the tzitz goes ahead and creates effectiveness ultimately for what? First of all, Rashi just points out before we go on, lo hurtza. Why is it by an akum that even the presence of the tzitz doesn't do anything? Look at Rashi, third line now from the top on chafem days. V'chsev. So we'll say because the lashon of the pasuk is the tzitz shall be on the forehead of the kohen l'ratzon lahem, to create effectiveness for them, teaching us that the effectiveness of the tzitz is only for Klal Yisrael and not for an akum. So the Gemara goes by Torah, meaning Gemara raises the kasha, amat it's meratza. What does the tzitz create effectiveness for? Al hadam v'al habasar v'al achilav shenitma. If you have blood, or sacrificial meat, or chalev, fat, which are supposed to be burned on the Mizbeach, that became tamei, and were then offered up on the Mizbeach nevertheless. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'onis, bein b'ratzon, bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibur. And I will say, what does the Braisa say? That the tzitz creates effectiveness in all cases. So what's the contradiction? In the previous price, Rabbi said, in the previous statement, the Gemara said that when it comes to a yachid, so the tzitz will only be miratzef what? If the blood was offered up in the state of tumah b'shogeg. But if it was done ultimately again b'mezid, it will not work. Yet this second price says the tzitz is miratzef for everything. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon, bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibur. So which one is it? So this is not a contradiction. The truth is, it's two different opinions. Each of the braisos quoted reflects a different opinion. This sanya, ein tarmin min hatamei al hatar. Well, it's actually interesting halacha. The halacha is that you are not permitted to go ahead and separate tamei produce as truma for tahar produce. Now, remember, you know, say I have produce that became tamei. I'm not supposed to separate out tamei produce as truma for tahar produce. V'im taram, but ultimately, again, if I did it, if I ended up separating out tamei produce as truma for tahar produce, b'shogeg truma so truma. If I did it b'shogeg, if it was an accident, it works. B'mezid ain't truma so truma. But if I didn't intentionally, then ultimately it does not work. Rabbi Yossi says, Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezit, shumasa truma. Rabbi Yossi says, whether you did it intentionally or unintentionally, it works. So both sides, we are suggesting over here that what? That halacha l'maisa, really the two brisos quoted above, are reflecting the opinions of Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon are the ones who make a distinction between shogeg and mezit, and therefore they'll be the authors of the first brisa, which indicates to us that if blood was offered up b'shogeg for a yachid, the tzitz is meratzah, but if it's b'mezit, the tzitz is not meratzah. The second brisa that makes no distinction between shogeg and mezid will reflect the view of Rabbi Yossi, just like Rabbi Yossi holds it, if you separate it out, tamei produce as truma for tar produce, whether they did a b'shogeg or a mezid, it works. So too, again, he will say that if tamei blood was offered up, whether it was shogeg or whether it was mezid, the tzitz is meratza. To which the Gemara says, Emor de shamasei de Rabbi Yossi de lo kanis. The meratzet sits al achilos mishamisle. So we'll say, which the Gemara essentially says, you know, you're making a comparison between two very dissimilar items. All I just learned from that price by Truma is that, everyone will agree that me'ikar adin, okay, we all agree, you're not supposed to separate out tamei produce as Truma for tahar produce. Everyone also agrees that if you did it on a technical biblical level, it works. What's at play over here? Whether or not we're going to knas the guy. Are you going to penalize him for doing something that we don't like? So Rabbi Yossi essentially says, we don't like it, we don't want you to do it, but if you did it, it works. It works. We're not going to start penalizing people. Shogeg, yeah, shogeg. No, we're not going to penalize him for shogeg. We will for mezid. So we'll say, from the bright side by Truma, all Rabbi Yossi is telling me is that we don't apply the penalty. But I will say that's very different than the brisa that says that even if you intentionally offered up the blood in a state of tuma, that the tzitz is meratza ultimately for what? Not only for the actual blood service, but when you say that tzitz is meratza, I will say that also tells me that what? That halacha l'maisa, that sanctions the consumption of sacrificial meat. Remember again, by karbanos, there's two different parts. There's the offering up of the blood on the Mizbeach, and then there's the consumption of sacrificial meat. What the Braisa was telling me before is that the second Braisa, was indicating that halacha lemaisa, if you offer up the blood b'mezid, you have blood that is tamei, you offer it up b'mezid, the tzitz is meratza. When we see the tzitz is meratza, like Rashi showed us in the Mishnah, meratza means that the blood service works, and what? The meat is fit for consumption. You can't see that shita by what Rabbi Yossi says by truma. Those are two very different things. So the Gemara says, "V'hatanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, hatzitz meratza al achilos." So Rabbi Eliezer says that the tzitz ultimately, again, not only certifies the actual blood service as being kosher, but ultimately allows you to eat the sacrificial meat as well. Rabbi Yossi Omer, in hatzitz meratza al achilos. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says no. At most, what the tzitz does, Rabbi Yossi, is what? The tzitz will only allow for the blood service to be kosher. But the tzitz does not have the ability to what? To allow for the consumption of the sacrificial meat. Rabbi Yossi, and I remember again, that's not a contradiction. Because remember, Karbanos 101 tells us that the most important part of any karban is blood application, zrika. So therefore, again, there's nothing wrong with saying that halacha l'maisa, the tzitz, could create effectiveness for the zrikas hadam, but cannot create effectiveness for sacrificial consumption, for the eating of the meat. So there was and we have seen the Braisa that confirms that. Rabbi Eliezer says that the tzitz is meratza ultimately al achilos. So Eliezer is of the opinion that the tzitz allows for the sprinkling of the blood and also the consumption of the sacrificial meat. Rabbi Yossi on the other hand says, Einat tzitz meratza al achilos. Rabbi Yossi says that the tzitz, Rabbi Yossi, allows for the sprinkling of the blood, but does not allow for carbonic consumption. So Rabbi Yossi says, we have a problem, because now we just said that the brisa that essentially says, bin b'shogeg, b'meizeh, b'me'onus, b'meratzon, the carbon is good, reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi. We would also assume that means that Rabbi Yossi holds that the tzitz is miratza not only for the zrika, but ultimately for achila. Yet here we see Rabbi Yossi as being quoted explicitly as saying what? The tzitz works for zrika, but not for achila. To which the Gemara says, not a problem, epoch. Just switch around the shittos. Just switch around the sheetos. Ultimately, again, therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that ein hatzitz miratza al achilos, and Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that the tzitz not only works for the blood application, but also works for consumption as well. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer omer ein hatzitz miratza al achilos, Rabbi Yossi omer hatzitz miratza al achilos. Good. Maskev Rav Sheshas. 1 second. Umi matzis afchislei. Does that actually work to switch around the sheetos? Vatanya, but we learned, yachol basar shenit malefnei zvigas damim. You chayovin alein mishum tomer. This is actually a very interesting discussion. I might have thought, so let's say you have a piece of sacrificial meat that became tame before the blood was sprinkled. And now before the blood was applied. And now what happens? Someone eats that meat. I might have thought that a person would be chayiv for eating tamei sacrificial meat at that time. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's right across from the Gilyon Hashas. Right across from Tosos Rav Shila. So, Yachol Basar Shnit Malefnei Zvikas Damim, Va'achol Lefnei Zvika B'tumas Haguf, Yuchayoven Alav Kari. So, we'll say, remember again, the halacha is, if a person is tamei, and they consume sacrificial meat, that is a punishment of Kari's. The Gemara is now dealing with a different kind of case. This is a case, ultimately, again, of where someone who is tamei consumes sacrificial meat, but consumes it before Zrika. This is all happening before Zrika. So I might have thought that such a person would be tamei. As the Gemara says, Yachal basar shenit malefnei zrikas damim, yuchayor lehem mishum tuma, tamud lomar, kol tahor, therefore we'll say the pasuk says, kol tahor yochal basar. So the Gemara says, kol tahor yochal basar, v'anefesh asher tochal basar, mizevach hashlam asher la'ashem, v'tumaso alav, v'nichrissa. What do we learn from this? Hanitra l'tahorin chayorin l'mishum tuma. Bosa, you're only chayiv for consuming sacrificial meat in a state of tuma, if otherwise that meat would be permitted to someone who was tahor. V'she'eino nitar l'tahorin, but I will say, if you have a piece of sacrificial meat that would have not been permitted to tahorin either, to someone who was tahor, for example, I'll say, what's an example of a piece of meat, that would not have been permitted to someone who was tahor, if the meat itself became tamei, then what? In chayavon la mishum tumah. That ultimately, again, the halacha is that one would not be liable, ultimately, again, for consumption of that meat in a state of tumah. O eino ella, or maybe I can say it the reverse. O eino ella ne'echal l'tahorin chayel mishum tumah. I mean, we'll say it's only meat that is consumable by tahorin that one will be chayavik for tumah. V'she'inu ne'echal l'tahorin ein chayavin ala mishum tumah. But sacrificial meat, I will say that cannot be consumed by tahorin. One would not be chayiv for tumah. Oh, if that's the case, otzi ani es halon. So we'll say, if that's the case, if we're going to use that principle, I would exclude the following cases. Lan rabosai means a piece of meat that sat overnight, and therefore, again, there's a psul of lina, or yotze, a piece of meat that was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash, she'inon ne'echalon le'tahorin, that ultimately, again, cannot be consumed by people who are tahor, tamud lomar asher la'Hashem. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk goes in and brings down the phrase asher la'Hashem, that is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, riba. And we'll say that pasuk comes to include all of these cases in a state of prohibition as well. Yochol shani marbe sapigulin vesanosaros. So maybe I would also come to include the case of pigul and the case of nosar. Nosaros hainulon. We'll say ultimately again, the case of nosar is the same case of a piece of sacrificial meat that sat overnight. Ella afapigulin kinosaros. But maybe I would be tempted to say that pigul should have the same status as nosar. Tamud lomar mizevach hashlamim. Therefore, both say the pasuk says mizevach hashlamim. That is a limiting or exclusionary phrase. Miet that comes to exclude. We're going to try to see that in just a moment. Umar is the rabo saselu hotzi aselu. So how do you know ultimately again what to include and what to exclude? So the Gemara says achasheriba hakasuv miet amrit. Now that we know that the pasuk comes to include certain items in the prohibition of tuma and to exclude others, mar ba'anias elu shahaisalahen shasa kosher. I would come to include, Rabbi Yossi, in the prohibition, certain sacrificial items that at some point in time were kosher, umotzi ani es elu shelo haisal en shasa kosher. And I would exclude items which what? Never had a time in which they were permitted. Ivim tomar basar shenitma lefnei zrikas damim, va'achlu la'achar zrikas damim. Rabbi Yossi, now going back to our original case. Therefore, if you're going to tell me about a piece of meat, sacrificial meat, which became tamei before zrika,
They came time before Zvika. Va'achlu la'achar Zvika's damim. And then it was consumed after the blood was applied. Mipnei ma'chayav alav. What would one be chayav for if one consumed that piece of sacrificial meat? Mishum tumah. Ultimately, again, one would be chayav ultimately because of tumah. Mipnei shatzitz miratza. Ultimately, again, because of said that tzitz creates effectiveness. In other words, if the piece of meat became tame ultimately again, before Zrika, Sibosai, then technically speaking, I would have said, based on what we said before, you're not chayef for consumption of that type of impure or ritually impure sacrificial meat. Why? Because it never had a shasa kosher. It must be that what? That the tzitz is miratza. If the tzitz is miratza, that means the piece of meat becomes a bona fide sacrificial piece of meat. If it becomes a bona fide sacrificial meat, then after you eat in the state of tumah, you will be chayef. Mitma'in yotzelo. And what do you see from here? That you are only chayiv ultimately again in a case of nitma, because that's the case that the tzitz is miratza. But yet if the same piece of meat was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be invalid, and therefore if someone were to eat it in a state of tumah, they would not be chayiv for eating sacrificial items in a state of tumah. So man shamasei da'amar ein zrika mo'elas liyotze. Who is the opinion who says, Rabosai, that ultimately again, zrika does not create effectiveness for a sacrificial item taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Eliezer. V'katani demiratza tzitz al achilos. It's Rabbi Eliezer, and yet what do you see? Nevertheless, we're stating that the tzitz ultimately again does work even for consumption. Not only does the tzitz create effectiveness, Rabbi Eliezer, for the actual blood avoda, but the tzitz actually creates effectiveness for consumption as well. Ela amrav chistalo kashya, ha Rabbi Eliezer ha rabbanon. Ultimately, says the Gemara, going back to what we said before, it actually reflects two different opinions, one of Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. We'll say first the widest line, Eimar Desham said Rabbi Eliezer demratza tzitzal achilos. So we'll say, Eleanor, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the tzitz creates effectiveness even for achila, delo kanis. But we'll say, in the event that a person did it, but maze it, where do we know that Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that there's no knas, that there's no penalty for that? So the Gemara says, in the same way that we saw before the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that was by Truma, so we see it over here Rabbi Eliezer as well. The sign of Eliezer Omer, Bein B'shogeg, Bein B'mezid, Trumaso Truma. Because Moshe Eliezer is of the same opinion, namely that Halacha L'maisa, we do not draw a distinction ultimately again between Shogeg and Mezid. Amor the Shamosay the Rabbi Eliezer, but Truma the Kilo, the Kachim the Chamiri Mishamislay. So we'll say, that's fine. I hear that opinion of Rabbi Eliezer by Truma, that ultimately is more Kal. But by Kachim, ultimately again, where do we hear this from? To which the Gemara says, Imkein, Ha Aman Tarmiye. If that's the case, ultimately again, says the Gemara, so who would we attribute this particular brisa to? So which the Gemara says, Ravina Amar, Tum Asa bin Beshogig bin Bemezid Hortus. So we'll say, what we'll do is, okay, well, let me finish this up. Ravina Amar, Tum Asa bin Beshogig bin Bemezid Hortus. Ravina says, that also when it comes to the Tumah, ultimately again, whether it occurred Beshogig or Bemezid, ultimately, the tzitz will be meratza. Zrikasa b'shogeg hortza. But if the zrika itself was done b'shogeg, so also now what the Gemara is going to do is going to draw a distinction ultimately again between the tumah and between the zrika. So I say, up until now, we were kind of lumping all of this together. Now the Gemara is going to unravel this a little bit and discuss differences between Tuma b'mezid versus b'shogeg versus zrika b'shogeg mezid. So we'll say, we'll have to stop over here for today. I'll probably record the rest of this till the Mishnah, because there's a Mishnah on the top of Chaval Manal B'Rabosai. But for our purposes, just understand the incredibly important yisod that comes out from this. Two important yisodos to leave you with. Number one, the tzitz is meratza for tumah. That ultimately, again, if you have a sacrificial item which becomes tameh, then ultimately, again, the tzitz has the ability to create effectiveness for it. I asked Michael. So the tzitz has the ability to create effectiveness for it, which is an incredible, profound yisod. However, the Rambam does point out that this is only a din if the sacrificial item becomes tameh. For example, if the kohen is tameh and does the avoda in that state which is prohibited, the tzitz is not meratza for that. So the tzitz only creates effectiveness if halacha lemaisa, the actual sacrificial item, becomes tameh. Further, I will say that ability for the tzitz to be meratza is limited. What does it allow for? It allows for the blood application. What doesn't it allow for? It doesn't allow for karbanic consumption. So it allows for the zrika to be valid, which again, as we saw before, is the most important detail, because the zrika being valid ultimately is what creates the effectiveness of the karban, but will not allow karbanic consumption. I'll record the rest of the daf to the Mishnah Merurah.